Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
They asked me how I knew my true love was true.
Tony Williams, ladies and gentlemen. With a platters.
Something here inside.
What a voice.
Cannot be denied.
Doesn't get any better than the platters. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're just taking a little trip down memory lane there. I don't know if Harry Chambers can take that trip with us. I bet he likes that music. I'm not sure if he remembers those folks, but Harry's a friend of ours. He's a member of our Brain Trust. He's a performance improvement specialist. He works with companies all over the country, halfway around the world, to help them with their leadership development, with management development. He helps them with things like conflict resolution. He asks them this question: are you a micromanager? And if you are, what are we going to do about it? He's the author of a book. I love the title, as I mentioned earlier to you, folks. It's My Way or the Highway, the Micromanagement Survival Guide. And he's our friend. Harry, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. I love your music.
Do you remember that song? Are you old enough to remember that song?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I was dreaming about my first date. Dreaming about it.
Okay, well, I wasn't quite ready to dream about it when that song was popular, but I was listening to it. That's at Tony Williams. He was something. Hey, yeah. Let's talk about micromanagement now. Micromanagement, Harry, when we're starting our business, when we're first getting kicked off, micromanagement is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and frankly, it's a necessary thing. When you're first starting your business, you literally are doing everything. And if you don't micromanage your business in the very, very, very early days, you probably won't have a business to manage later on. So it absolutely is necessary. The key, Jim, is knowing when to begin to back out as we hire other people and we delegate some of our duties to them. We can't make the mistake of continuing to do the job just using their hands.
And once we get to the point where we need to start turning loose, while you were talking about that, Harry, I was thinking about the other day trying to get a sucker out of the hands of one of my grandsons. I needed him to turn loose of the sucker.
Uh-huh.
And I was literally having to reach in there and pull his little fingers back so I could get the stick out of his hand. And that's kind of the way we are in our businesses. As we grow, people have to reach in and pull our fingers off of things so that we'll turn them loose sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, because, boy, do we get an attachment to that sucker.
That's right.
And you're right about that. And we are so invested in it. And many times, you know, this is the core of what we do. We've identified ourselves by the fact that we did this sucker, whatever that task or whatever that responsibility might be. And it's, boy, that's a great analogy, Jim. And it's kind of like letting the kids go when they go off to college and so
right.
on. Man, that's tough to do.
That's right. Well, and here are the emotions that you have when you're holding on to that sucker. The part of the emotion is fear, because you want to make sure you're afraid that it's not going to be done right. And part of it is ego, because you're convinced that nobody can do it better than you. And what are some other emotions you can think of that you have?
Well, you certainly have the fear, because it's an important task. We know how important it is. We know there's the price to be paid if it isn't done accurately. And the ego, as you say, is so prevalent. Nobody can do it as well as I do. And I guess, Jim, I would make this statement. That's probably true. That's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
The people you hire may not be able to do it as good as you do it.
So just because it's accurate doesn't mean it's right, though.
Absolutely not, because there's a phrase that I truly love. 90% of the time, 90% is good enough.
Right.
They may not have to do it as good as you do. But if they can give you a 90%, that may be good enough. And then you can turn your efforts, your focus, to something else that will bring greater dividends to the business. But you have to know when 90% is good and when it's got to be 100%.
One of my mentors used to tell me, we used to talk about being 100% extension of yourself. And you know, he was warning me against that, that you know, if you're 100% extension of yourself, yeah, everything that you do is going to be just like you want it. But you're the only person doing it. And if you're the only way to leverage other people is if you're willing to go to live with that rule that you just mentioned, which I like. I'd not heard before. I like that. 90% of the time, 90% is okay.
Yeah, 90% is good enough. Now, there's 10% of the time when you have to be 100% or maybe 110%, and I suggest that you micromanage that 10%.
Right.
Don't let that get away from you. But so many times as entrepreneurs, we end up majoring in the minors. We focus on the smaller things to the detriment of some of the bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you continue to try to do everything, your business will only grow to the extent that you can do it.
Right. You know, one of the things that I tell small business owners to think about regarding outsourcing is to ask themselves this question: must this task be done in-house? And if they can, if they have any tasks that the answer to that question is no, it doesn't have to be done in-house, then figure out a way to outsource it to somebody who's an expert at that. So maybe the same kind of question is what we should be asking ourselves from a micromanagement standpoint: is must I do this task? What do you think?
I would very much agree with that, and I love that question. I would tack something onto it. One of the ones that I heard many years ago that I absolutely love is take a look at whatever the task is that we're thinking about, and then ask yourself the question, what's the worst thing that could happen if I didn't do this,
right,
or if it wasn't done in-house? And if the answer doesn't have death, bleeding, bankruptcy, or something like that in it, then maybe it's the right thing to delegate or to outsource.
Right. So if the answer doesn't have anything to do with the catastrophe,
yeah, if it's something you can survive, then it's it might be appropriate.
Well, and also you probably need to discount that even, because you're probably going to be a little more dramatic in your evaluation of what might happen than reality.
Yeah, and there's the fear you were talking about a moment ago.
Right. Absolutely.
Fear will,
yeah,
kick in.
That, no question about it. Harry, give us your website, please.
My website is harrychambers.com, and if any of your listeners would like to follow up with a question or comment about our conversation, it's a pretty simple email address. It's harry@harrychambers.com.
All right, and the book is called My Way or the Highway. Also, he's got another book called Finding, Hiring, and Keeping Peak Performance. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how micromanagement can cause conflict. And when it does, or any other kind of conflict that you have, how to resolve that conflict. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
Give you my dog surprise. I'll be with you, darling, soon. Oh, I was warned about her love.
If you like blues, it doesn't get any better than Robert Cray. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and as you probably can tell, I like blues. I bet Harry Chambers likes blues too. Do you like blues, Harry?
Yeah, I do. You ought to compile a CD of your bumper music and recommendations.
Yeah, I'd have to figure out how to pay the artist if I did that. Good idea, though. Harry Chambers, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's the author of My Way or the Highway. Can they find your books at your website, Harry?
Certainly. Also, they're available online, BarnesandNoble.com, and certainly as well as Amazon.com.
Right.
And they're in all major bookstores across the country as well.
Good for you. Harry Chambers, just like you think it would be spelled. And, Harry, we're talking about micromanagement a minute ago. And what does it look like when micromanagement creates conflict?
Well, the reality, Jim, is that micromanagement, the true definition of micromanagement, is legitimate managerial behaviors that are taken to excess or to extreme and taken to the point where they start to interfere with somebody's ability to do their job. And almost by definition, there's going to be a conflict when that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And micromanagers are pretty good at creating conflict. The problem is
they they manufacture it, don't they?
Yeah, they're carriers. They're kind of like the typhoid carriers. And the compounding the problem is that typically we in the American workplace don't know how to resolve conflict. So we create a situation that we don't resolve or we don't react to, because I could be micromanaging you and you could be unhappy about it, but typically we don't share that. We don't let the other person know. Mm-hmm. And we are conflict avoiders, not conflict resolvers.
Why do you say that? What you said, we're not good at conflict resolution. Why is that true?
Well, I think for a number of reasons. Number one, we don't want to take the risk, and to resolve conflict takes risk because we have to approach the other person, and we're uncomfortable doing that. And one of the things that I hear a lot, I'm sure you do too, is we typically are kind to ourselves. Let's say you and I were in conflict. I would probably be thinking, you know, I'm the kind of guy who would really like to resolve the conflict, but you can't talk to Jim.
Right.
You know, Jim would never listen to you.
Well, but because he's not perfect like me.
Yeah, exactly. And we blame the other person because we're not willing to take the risk.
Well, now, you said that earlier, like there were some other people in the world who were better at it than we are.
Well, I think there are other cultures, and I certainly don't want to shed bad light on Americans. There
no, many, I mean, I you know, if you think it's true, let's get it out there. Go ahead.
There are many things that define our greatness as American people, but the resolution of conflict is not one of them. And Jim, there's some interesting stuff that has been out in the world for a while, and that is that it's somewhat generational, this avoidance of conflict resolution. And people born before the Second World War, so for most of your listeners, that would be mom, dad, grandma, grandpa kind of
right.
a thing,
right.
they were pretty good at interactively resolving conflict. It might not have been pretty, but they resolved it. If they had a problem with you, they told you. They weren't telling
That's
the rest of the family. If they had a problem with their neighbor, they would knock on a neighbor's door and say, get your cow out of my yard kind of
well,
thing.
Well, and see, I can remember my dad resolving my conflicts for me.
Yes.
He was really good at that.
Yeah. And typically what those generations weren't doing is writing anonymous letters to the Homeowners Association and those kinds of things.
Right.
But people born since the Second World War tend to avoid conflict.
Do you think it's because when they grew up, when my parents grew up and your parents, the windows were up, no air conditioning, people were out on the front porch, and the neighborhoods were people, you know, mingling with each other. And since then, since the air conditioning came in, the windows went down, the television's on, and we're more into ourselves and a little more self-absorbed?
We're self-absorbed and we're much more independent. We don't need our neighbors the way we used to.
Right. We used to count on our neighbors. We didn't lock our doors because our neighbors were watching the door.
That's right. That's right. And typically we were very supportive of each other, to a degree involved in each other's lives.
Very interesting perspectives.
I haven't
heard anybody say that before, but it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, really.
So how does that manifest itself in our businesses, in the marketplace, and how do we avoid it?
Well, it manifests itself by creating negative circumstances that typically don't get resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And unresolved conflict does very, very, very significant damage. Let me just give you a couple of quick things. If there's unresolved conflict between individuals or somewhere within the organization, could be various departments and so on, one of the first things we see is a decrease in productivity and quality.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing we see, if we don't resolve it, that continues, and then we see a whole lot of passive-aggressive behaviors,
mm-hmm.
behind-the-back kind of stuff, subtle sabotage and so on.
Right.
That continues if we don't resolve it, and then we get into formal complaints. Lawsuits get filed,
right.
Grievances get filed, that kind of thing.
Harry, I got 30 seconds. How do we avoid that?
Well, let me give you this one. The most egregious result is workplace violence. And
mm-hmm.
unresolved conflict is significantly contributed to by workplace violence. You fix it by negotiating an agreement ahead of time. Jim, what are you and I going to do when we might be in conflict? What can we agree ahead of time that we're going to do? And put that operating agreement in place.
Mm-hmm. And sign it.
Yeah. Or handshake.
Maybe even sign it. Let's focus on conflict resolution next time entirely when you come back.
I will enjoy that.
I think that's something we need to talk about. Harry, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Jim, thank you very much. I enjoy it.
Harry Chambers, ladies and gentlemen. My Way or the Highway is his newest book. Quick break. Right back after these messages with Giovanni Cortola. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.